This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Here we go. Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love. This is another Dolphins podcast. Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh Houts.
Thanks for pressing play on another edition of another Dolphins podcast. We've reached a slow part of the offseason, but I don't think anybody told the Dolphins. We're going to just discuss the decisions to move on from Raheem Mostert, Durham Smythe, and Kendall Fuller. But first, Joshua, what's going on, my friend?
First Sunday without football, man. I mean, I thought I'd shed some tears, but I was a little bit okay with it. I'm okay with the combine slowly coming around and getting these draft prospects under our belt and slow moving it to the offseason. But we know, man, snap of the fingers. I mean, as we saw, I mean, the NFL offseason never sleeps. So enjoyed this Sunday without football, but it's going to be your back real quick. How have you been, man? Long time no talk.
I've been good, and I don't want to spend too much since everybody, most people who listen to this podcast are down in South Florida, except shout out to everybody who isn't in South Florida. Trust me, we definitely see you guys too. But man, it has been so cold, so much sleet, so much snow. So it's nice to kind of reel it back in, sit inside for a little bit and talk about football. And Josh, it's a slow time of the off season, so everybody who's producing content, creating content, are doing things a little bit differently. They're trying to find different things to be creative, tell stories. So, Josh, it's been a rough week for those of us who kind of, me specifically, I kind of look at like the 2012, like the 2008 Wildcats is like the first really like grabbed my attention as like a 12-year-old sports fan, 14-year-old sports fan. Like that was like, oh man, like we're a legit 2008. Yeah. Okay. Just making sure I have all my timeline set up. But Josh, two stories that came out recently, I wanted to get your thoughts on first. And I think they both go together. I think they both kind of go into the same stream of consciousness. And one is Deion Jordan. He was on the Fish Tank podcast for anybody who's very interested in hearing reactions from former players, older players, just kind of stories from being in the locker room. The Fish Tank is a great place to go and hear from those guys. Basically, too long didn't read. Deion Jordan was on that talking about how he didn't necessarily try as hard as he could. And Josh, I mean, just another opportunity for me to rip out my hair because this was a scenario. If you think back to 2013, the Dolphins, you went, I think it was in the hunt. 7-9, right? With Ryan Tannehill, your first season, you're kind of building something with Joe Philbin as your head coach leading the way. And you're like, all right, like things are coming together. The Dolphins pushed their chips into the middle of the table. And I thought it was an incredible deal, Josh. They jumped up from like pick 14 to pick 3 to the third pick in the draft. You could have the third best player. And 10 years later, 12 years later, we're hearing about that player, Josh, just saying, yeah, I didn't really try hard enough. I had Cameron Wake on the other side of me. And I still thought, I'm not going to try.
And that's what's so frustrating, right, Jake? I mean, they had the deal of a lifetime. I mean, no one was upset that they moved up there to get that pick. I mean, but we saw the plethora. I think Lane Johnson was available. Was it Eric Fisher? I can't remember exactly who it was, but they had opportunities to get some offensive linemen. They took Deion Jordan, and at that point, you're like, okay, this is a guy that Chip Kelly and the Eagles wanted, right? This is a guy that's going to be that, you know, prolific pass rusher, like you said, opposite of Cam Wake, and to hear that he didn't try at all, I mean, that explains a lot, and that explains, I don't know if you remember, I had like Deion Jordan holding his jersey up on draft day with the crying Jordan face for the longest time, and it just pains me because, like you mentioned, man, this guy was supposed to be that game-changing young pass rusher. I think he was only like 20 years old when we brought him in, and never once lived up to the hype, although I do think he went on then to maybe get a sack with the Raiders or something like that. But definitely check out that story, because no matter how, you know, big or small the players, they have some crazy stories from, you know, like you mentioned, Jake, times where we truly fell in love with the Dolphins. I think it was that wild card year that really, you know, said, okay, things are a little bit different now, and I love this team a little bit more.
Written by Greg Rosenthal, NFL Daily host, back in 2013, the Dolphins traded the 12th overall pick and the 42nd overall pick in the swap. And Josh, I actually just Googled it. I said, I just Googled when did the Dolphins trade up to number 3? And I also, the first thing that came up was that trade with the Eagles in the Jalen Waddle draft. So I just think it's kind of interesting that the Dolphins love to jump around the draft once in a while, but not too much. And Josh, from the same time period, this story, I remember just sitting in like my college like classrooms, Berkshire Community College, Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts, it doesn't matter, writing about this story. Jonathan Martin, former 2012 second round pick by the Miami Dolphins, did his first interview in forever with ESPN. Bullygate, all that drama, all that nonsense. And Josh, I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I got to the point where it said Jonathan Martin for the story on ESPN, where it was like Jonathan Martin, now a crypto and Bitcoin enthusiast. I closed it right there. I'm not wasting any more time on this guy. But with that being said, I'd love to hear your thoughts on like, let's rehash the Jonathan Martin saga. We have Richie Incognito on Twitter torching everybody as he should. But God, man, Bitcoin enthusiast, Jonathan Martin, lucky us, go Dolphins.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think what's even, I don't know if I can say it, but it kind of even looks like that meme frog, right, that always goes around. So I don't know, man. The meme coin, the cryptocurrency, I don't get that. But it was, I guess, nice to put the whole story behind him, right? I think that was the whole point of this story, was to try to clear the airways. And, I mean, I don't know if I truly remembered how, you know, crazy, I guess that's the best word to put it, how crazy and horrific it spiraled out of control. So I'm glad that he's better now, because I mean, there were threats made and things like that. I mean, I'm glad it's all water under the bridge. But at the time, I remember Jonathan Martin getting drafted, and this was a player who played for Jim Harbaugh at Stanford. You know, he was a guy who we thought was going to help with the offensive line, and just one day up and left. And I mean, with everything in the world now, you know, mental health, it's a lot different nowadays. So maybe he would have been looked at differently. But the way that whole story unfolded, man, it was just absolutely wild. And I could not imagine trying to play in a locker room with that. So glad it's all under the bridge, and glad he can move on with his life. But cryptocurrency, man, I admit it. When I saw that, I was like, come on. And it was at Penn. I think he was down like the street at Penn. So I was like, you know, maybe one day if Jonathan Martin's down the street, maybe I'll go check him out.
Get an autograph.
But when I saw, yeah, get an autograph.
There's no way he'd sign anything. Dude, I wanted to bring these two things up because I think this kind of speaks with the biggest issue about the Dolphins. We're 7 minutes into this podcast, and we haven't even talked about the fact that the Dolphins are rebuilding their roster. We're talking about off-the-field BS. So I think this is just kind of a nice way to tie this together. Like, the Dolphins are dealing with the same crap right now. Like, we all of a sudden, like, we had a week where Tyreek did his apology tour. He was going with Kay Adams and whoever else may be, you know, I'm sorry, Tua, you're my bro. And then the next day, we have him, like, screaming at Ryan Clark. Like, I can be the first to tell you that Ryan Clark, I don't like any of his content. I never have. Like, he got hurt or when everyone got upset about him calling Tua fat, and he didn't realize that maybe I shouldn't just call people fat. But this is the issue with being a Dolphins fan, Josh, and I don't want to get too preachy, even though I already have. Like, can't we just talk football? Like, do we need, like, to talk, like, Tua, throw shade, like, oh, you guys eating your potato chips, show me the money. Like, that's the biggest issue with the Miami Dolphins, and it's been this way since Steven Ross arrived. I think it's great what he does for this team. He's an open checkbook. He's also lost a draft pick. He also allows all this nonsense to go on. And it is so hard to win in the NFL when you have to continuously think about these things. And they're doing it again with Tyreek Hill. You're never going to be a winner. That's why the Dolphins haven't won in 25 years. So I can't believe this is the team, the Jonathan Martin, the Deion Jordan. Those were the teams that told young Jake, start creating content, man. This is the team you want to talk. Like, it's crazy.
And what's crazy, I don't even think it's just you. Like, there are some that came after that. And it's like, oh, man, what did you guys see, right, that made you fall in love? Because it's oh, man, it's just so painful. But you're right, Jake. I mean, you want to be one of these teams that are talking about, you know, how close you are to the Super Bowl or winning a playoff game and falling short. And every year it's just off the field BS, like you mentioned, from our past. Like, these things that just crawl out of the closet that we have no interest in. I mean, it was nice to put water under the bridge. But, I mean, we had no interest in this. We want to hear about the Dolphins making moves like we'll talk about, or building this roster up. And every year it just seems like they're in the limelight for all the wrong reasons.
What a segue. The Miami Dolphins, Josh, released Raheem Mostert, Durham Smythe, and Kendall Fuller, clearing roughly $8 million in salary cap space. Shout out to Dustin, man. This is all stuff we talked about in our free agency primer part two, the idea that the Dolphins might try to move off some players. And Josh, when you look at these three names, Raheem Mostert, Durham Smythe, and Kendall Fuller, they only clear about $8 million in salary cap space. The Miami Dolphins are still $5 million over the salary cap. This is all rough estimates. All this stuff is going to change in the coming months as the numbers get a little more tight. But Josh, I want to ask you, are these three moves more about on the field or off the field? Like contracts?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was going to be cliche and say it was a little bit of both. First, let's just say, Jake, we got to give a shout out to you because Dustin, myself, we all sat here and we did this podcast, but man, you did a little rundown, man. You had Mostert on there. You had Fuller on there. And I mean, I think you may have even had Smythe on there. So, I mean, it was just awesome how the podcast actually came out before all these moves were made. So a hat tip to you, but I think it's a little bit of both, right? I think we saw Wingfield on Blue Sky and some other people kind of allude to it. Durham Smythe, he almost seems like he's too slow for this offense. He can't get to the edge and make some blocks and things like that. So, you know, he longest tenured Dolphin. I can understand why they got rid of him, right? That to me seemed like it could have been more of an on the field thing. But then you look at Mostert, you mentioned the contract and things like that. I mean, this dude put 21 touchdowns up for us. So that could have then maybe been more of the money situation, or he wanted to go into a contender, like his agent said. So different factors here and there, but at the end of the day, they didn't clear off that much money. So I think it has to do with more of maybe what they did on the field, or maybe who they have their eyes on in free agency or the draft. You're muted. Sorry, man.
Swing and a miss. I want to go player by player here, and we will get into that. But overall, like 40,000 feet in the air, Josh, I think this is all on the field decisions. I think if the Dolphins like went out and were really focused on clearing salary cap space, they would have done it different ways. What I see here is the Dolphins drafted a third round. They spent a third round pick on Jalen Wright. Durham Smythe, man, I have some stats about him, but yeah, just isn't been doing anything in this offense. And I think something that the Dolphins are realizing for this year, at least for someone like Durham Smythe, it's no longer like they're going to give us a standard and the standard's okay. I think what you want to see, especially from these second and third stringers, Josh, is you want to see these guys who can go out there and surprise you, make a little chicken salad out of chicken, you know what. But someone like Durham Smythe, dude, you were just excited when he did his job. And I'm not trying to hate, like, he was the longest tenured Dolphin, as you mentioned, but you kind of just want players who, like, can shock you, that can step up and have a strong moment. I have the numbers written down, but I don't think Durham Smythe was targeted more than twice in a game. Josh, the one season, I think he had two touchdowns. It was the year they had Mike Gesicki on the franchise tag. They were paying another tight end a bunch of money, and that's what was needed for Durham Smythe to score two touchdowns. So I just think it's no more like, you know, will they, won't they? Like, will they, won't they? Will they, Raheem Mostert, be that guy again? Will he stay healthy? Will Durham Smythe just be someone you can depend on? There's no time to make these decisions anymore. There's no time to have this debate. So, Josh, I want to start. Let's get into it with Raheem Mostert. The Dolphins saved nearly $3 million, about $1 million in dead money. Kind of stinks because he is the definition of like the success story of an NFL player. He bounced around a bunch. God, man, he's been in the league for 10 years as a running back. And a big reason because of that is because he just stayed headstrong. He wasn't getting a lot of carries, started in Miami, San Francisco, jumping around a bunch, had one monster year with San Francisco. And that really changed everyone. Everyone kind of understood like, oh, this guy can be a problem. Comes to Miami. He was the first 1,000-yard rusher for the Dolphins. And God, it's got to be close to 10 years at this point. Jay Ajayi probably. But man, what are your initial thoughts now that you've gotten a day or two to stew about this, both on the field, off the field, the player Raheem Mostert, and him not being on the Dolphins anymore?
Yeah, man. Yeah, those are all good, great questions. And I mean, I think what we do have to remember is this guy just led the league in touchdowns a couple of years ago. Was it 21 or 22 we had? I mean, the guy is out of his mind. He gave us every bit of, you know, what he had left of. I mean, you're mentioning all these guys. I just picture you like you're doing a recipe and you try to get the lemon out of the juice, and now the Dolphins just have no more lemon to squeeze out of the juice. I mean, I think that's where they're at here. They want to get younger. And I think for me, I want to get your thoughts on this quote. But for me, I think we kind of foresaw this, right? The Dolphins were going to try to get younger. We didn't really see Raheem Mostert maybe have that same impact or role last year. So I guess it wasn't too much of a surprise on the surface. But for me, losing the player Raheem Mostert, I mean, he kind of embodies what this new Mike McDaniel era was, right? I mean, he was one of those guys that Mike McDaniel brought in right away. We talked about, you know, the relationship that they had. So this might have been a very hard move for Mike McDaniel. But for me, I feel like it might have been the right time to move on based on his performance last year. And then based on what his agent said, Jake, you had this in your article, I believe, Brad Tesler. Looks like my client Raheem Mostert will be playing elsewhere next season. Very thankful for his time with the Miami Dolphins, and this gives them a chance to get younger and gives him a chance to go and pursue a ring elsewhere. Did you think that that was a little bit of shade at the Dolphins and, you know, where they are at this point? Because, I mean, we kind of see it, right? The Dolphins, I don't want to say their playoff window closed as very abruptly, but it almost seemed like, you know, we were sitting there talking about Super Bowl potential 1 year, and now we're sitting here kind of more realistic thinking, can Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer even get us out of this situation?
At first, I didn't think so. I didn't think anything of it. But then you italicized it in the rundown, and that kind of got me like, all right, like let's think about this a little bit. And it kind of does say, like, it feels like Kessler is putting that fork in the road. The Dolphins, Josh, you mentioned it, like, is the playoff window open? Well, the agent pretty much saying here, let's let the Dolphins get younger. They're rebuilding while us guys are going to go chase rings. Like, I could kind of see that kind of context coming from it. But I don't. Raheem Mostert got a contract extension and a little bit of a raise following last season. Obviously, he's not going to see that through. He got released before that final year of that deal. But man, like, I don't know if it should really be viewed as that salty when you consider like 18 rushing touchdowns to lead the league. This is someone who jumped around a bunch. He was such a great friend with Mike McDaniel. Like, this really, if he didn't have like an insane season 2 years ago, that might be like the end of it. Like, that might be like the end of his story. And it's a great story, as you know, I said earlier, but that season last year, you do wonder if like that was enough to say like, all right, let's go to another team and see if you can be that running back two who needs to step in, start a couple games if needed. I kind of think of it more as that, like that they're kind of just going in their different paths. You know, you have Raheem Mostert having that identity, because I do think the two work together so well. I mean, Josh, remember in 2000, McDaniel's first season, 2022, Chase Edmonds? Remember Chase Edmonds was a thing? And it was the idea that like Edmonds, he knew about like an inside zone run where Mostert, and it was this surfer, right? I think they said like the way he ran was like surfing, the way he could hit these outside zone holes. We saw Edmonds just fail to do that time and time again. And Josh, you said it perfectly, where Mostert became just like that definition of what this Miami Dolphins offense is supposed to be. And I do want to ask you, man, that 2023 season, like, what does that do for your level of confidence? I know, you know, you're losing the player in Mostert, but we've seen this Mike McDaniel offense at its peak, Devon Achane 7.8 yards per carry, and at the same time, Raheem Mostert 18 rushing touchdowns to lead the league. Do you still have that confidence that that can maybe be found elsewhere? And we'll get into that in a second, but do you think that that magic, the ingredients are still there for McDaniel to dial up that offense? Or was it just like, right time, right players, and now we're just chasing that high?
Damn, yeah. I mean, I hope that they can find that magic again, right? I mean, that's what we're all hoping for at this point. And I thought what you're kind of alluding to there is, I mean, we all, when Mike McDaniel came over, we looked at that San Francisco 49ers offense as plug-and-play running back, right? I mean, we all play fantasy football. They put whoever behind that line. They find ways to have success. So that's kind of how It seemed like maybe we'd have here in Miami. I mean, you're sitting there talking about Achane's success, things like that. So I guess I have a little bit of confidence that they can figure it out, because I think we all feel like they're going to go hard at guard. You know, in the draft, they might draft somebody. So I feel like this would be the year to say they can find that magic again. But I do feel like that 2023 season might have just been, you know, right players, right time, and just Raheem Mostert getting the rock in the right situations, right? I mean, every time he touched the ball down at the goal line, it seemed like it was a touchdown. So, hopefully he can go on and have success, you know, elsewhere. I was going to ask you, Jake, I mean, as long as it's not in the AFC East, Jake, I was going to ask you, but we kind of all saw maybe Jeff Wilson being that guy getting cut too as well. I mean, I thought maybe he'd be gone or now, and not to say he won't, but
he's a free
agent. Thought maybe that. Okay. Okay. Thank you for clearing that up. So yeah, we all kind of cut that cord then. So that's why he wasn't cut, but yeah. So they're losing both of Mike McDaniel's running backs. And I think the main reason though, is because like you have in this rundown, man, they do have some young guys here that they are very excited about, and they're probably gonna draft somebody that they should be very excited.
The biggest issue that boiled over with Raheem Mostert, Josh, this is someone who, for five straight years, he was on pace just fumbling the ball once. In each of the last two seasons, man, he fumbled the ball twice. Each of the fumbles this season in 2024, the Dolphins lost those fumbles. The one against the Colts still sticks out to me as just a total, total brutal backbreaker. So the Dolphins started to lose that trust in Raheem Mostert a little bit. You know, you're getting older. You don't have the same pop. It was a really tough season. But Josh, when we're talking about trust, I mean, can the Dolphins trust someone like Jalen Wright? Can the Dolphins trust somebody? Let me see here, man. Six carries for negative 4 yards in his final week of the season. 9 carries for 6 yards, I think, over the final month of the season. Have we seen enough from Jalen Wright to really understand that this is the guy who can step in and be that? God, I don't even know how we want to explain a backfield that includes Devon Achane, if it's 1A, 1B, or what, but I don't know if you can have this version of Jalen Wright be that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At 1B.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you would have asked me this question a year ago, I'd probably be pretty hyped. Well, after the draft, obviously, yeah. After he was drafted by the Dolphins, I'd be pretty hyped. I mean, I think we all kind of were. We could spin that any way and say that, okay, this guy might be more of that three-down back than a Devon Achane. But after his rookie year, man, I don't know if it's because every time he was in the game, it seemed like we knew he was getting the ball in a run situation, right? And he was getting stuff behind the line, or, you know, maybe the way that offensive line was built in here. I don't know. But my confidence in him at this point, it's not – as great as it once was. I mean, I looked it up, man, how many rushes he had last year. I didn't even know he touched the ball 68 times for only 249 yards. I mean, 3.7 yards per carry doesn't sound so bad, but I just remember, like you mentioned, late in the year, him just getting stonewalled and having nowhere to go. And it just seemed like every time he touched the ball, I don't want to say bad things were happening early in the year. It seemed like every time he touched it, you know, something special was happening in preseason early in the year. But later in the year, man, it just seemed like the entire stadium knew that he was getting the rock. He was going to try to run the ball, and he just got stoned. So my confidence isn't as great as it once was, but the Dolphins have to feel pretty confident, right? And they invested a future pick in him as well. So, I mean, when you invest that in it, do you almost have to, you know, see what you have in him in this critical year? I mean, I kind of think you might.
The fact you said critical makes me want to argue that you might want to add more players. The fact you think about how important this year is. But Josh, I also want to ask, I mean, this was a unit that had Devon Achane, it had Jeff Wilson Jr., it had Raheem Mostert. People on the Finnsider, we both write for the Finnsider, people are still talking about Chris Brooks like he wasn't the third running back. I get the gripe here. I get the gripe. But what Dolphin fans should have a bigger issue with here is how inexplainable it was that the Dolphins just really didn't have a right running back, right time type of motto. Like, it was Devon Achane and everyone else. Like, we have think pieces about Jeff Wilson Jr., about how he wasn't used. You go back to that Dallas game in 2022, it was Jeff Wilson running the rock to squeeze out the clock. So, Josh, when you look, that was a nice rhyme there. Wow. So, you have Jalen Wright named all SEC as a junior, rushing for 1,013 yards and catching 22 passes for 141 yards. Dolphins spent a third-round pick on him. People say, like, oh, no, it was a fourth-round selection. They invested a third-round pick on this player to have him come in and be a playmaker. But, Josh, like, we look at that 2023 season and we see Mike McDaniel as this run-first guru. But can we trust this running offense at all? Like, Mike McDaniel's first season in Miami, they averaged less than 100 rushing yards per game. Less than 100 rushing yards per game. That's some Ryan Fitzpatrick leading the league in rushing type stat if I've ever seen one in my life. And Josh, last year, I think that the offensive line had a lot of issues, but only 105 rushing yards per game. That's like 21st, 22nd in the league. So we had this one true pure season in 2023, but is that enough for us to really understand, like, hey, this Dolphins offense, this rushing attack, it's going to go back to where it was?
No, not at all, man. And I mean, I'm sitting here hearing this, and it's getting me a little queasy because we all love Devon Achane, right? And I think Mike McDaniel and co, they've even kind of maybe mentioned him in a Marshall Faulk type, you know, we see this guy as a Marshall Faulk type player. But to us, man, every time he, you know, gets a brunt of that workload, it almost seems like it's banged up and injured. And you're mentioning, can we trust this? I mean, I cannot trust this. I cannot trust right now the way we're looking at this with Devon Achane being the lead guy, Jalen Wright potentially being his backup, and then I can understand the Chris Brooks. You know, I was even going to mention him, but we got to get over that at some point, right? Chris Brooks was not didn't have a role in this roster, and the Dolphins are going to find the next Chris Brooks, probably. I mean, this roster, this running back room will not. Yeah, this running back room is not, you know, complete by any stretch of the imagination. But for me, it's bigger than that. It's the offensive line and things like that, and I just can't get behind, you know, thinking that Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel are going to figure out a way to get this thing all in one cohesive unit in their last chance to do so. But I sure hope they can figure it out, right, Jake? Hope we can get back that 2023 season. That's what I should say.
Let's put a stamp on it then. Does this open up an opportunity for the Dolphins to draft Ashton Gentry maybe in the first round? Like, Josh, you're talking offensive line. Like, are you going to go right back ahead and put the cart before the horse, or where's your vibe at?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote that down, and I'm like sitting there thinking, you know, does it? And I'm going back and forth. I mean, could you see the Dolphins drafting a running back at 13? I mean, best player available if he falls. I mean, I don't know if I can, but at the same time, this is the same team that wanted Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, a few seasons ago. And if you wanted Jahmyr Gibbs, you would have had to, you know, pay the trolls. You wanted Jonathan Taylor, right? You almost invested a pick in him. I mean, I still do not know what this team would have even looked like if the Dolphins traded for Jonathan Taylor. So I guess you can't rule out on Ashton Gentry. And I think what makes him so intriguing is I was looking at his numbers. I mean, 375 carries last season, Jake, 2,595 yards, 29 touchdowns. I mean, the dude is an absolute workhorse. He was from Boise State. He's got the dreads. I joked that it's JHI if you give him a Thunderstone or two or three. I mean, I cannot in any world see the Dolphins with this current makeup of the offensive line and all these things that they, these needs that we can see on paper going running back. But he loves to do the sticky thing, right? He loves to do the boom, sham, wow on there. And yeah, flex seal, not sham.
Bam,
wow.
Hit him with the
sham. He loves to do the bam, hit him with the sham, wow. Yeah, he loves to do the flex seal and get things right. So, you know, you can't rule it out, but. Yeah, I had to go big brain there and think, what if you bring in Ashton Gentry? Because then you got him, Devon Achane, Jalen Wright, and then you're looking at this thing like, oh my God, from dynasty or fantasy perspectives, holy moly.
I wouldn't say no to that. I think your vision makes a lot of sense, and Miami's aggressiveness to draft running backs high and use draft capital is obvious. Would you prefer this outcome, or would you prefer, like, I don't think they're going to take a guard or an offensive lineman at 13. I'm starting to get that feeling. But because if they do, they're going to be playing guard, I think, as a rookie. I think that's going to be the way they go. Can you trust the Dolphins to get two starting guards in free agency with, I don't know, the pennies and nickels between their couch cushion? That's the only issue I have, Josh. Like, this team, like, we're trying to fool ourselves into the idea of, like, we're winning now. We're a team that wants to win now. I'm getting more and more comfortable with the idea of taking that single or double, that guard. Like, the last time the Dolphins selected a guard in the draft was like 1982, and he became a two-time first-team All-Pro. And don't get me wrong, first-team All-Pro guard does not move the needle whatsoever. But for the Dolphins, where they are right now, I think it could. So I think I'd be open to something like this, Josh. I think the Dolphins are too, but I just am fearful that they'd be able to rebuild the offensive line and fail to build the offensive line the same way they've done the last couple off-seasons.
Yeah, and I think you look at that. I mean, I think you absolutely have to look at this offensive line as, you know, that's where I'm targeting. And if you're not going defensive line, which they might as well, but offensive line to me is really where you focus. And then another reason you might not go there in the first round is because this draft, I won't say is loaded with running backs, but there are some other key running backs that they can find in the later rounds. I had Travion Henderson down as from Ohio State. He's a guy that I drafted in a Devy League, you know, when he was a freshman. So he's a guy I had on my radar for a while, but there are some backs that, you know, the Dolphins approved in the past. I mean, we remember, I almost said Myles Garrett, or Myles Gaskin years, the Sylvain Ahmeds and things like that. So they'll find other running backs elsewhere. I just cannot imagine if on their big board, you know, he's like player number three or four on there and he falls to 13 because he's a running back, then what do the Dolphins do? I guess we'll see, right?
I went to one college game last year. It was a UNC game. Josh, sorry to put you on the spot here, but I mean, like, where would someone like Omarion Hampton be going? Like another guy who's a little more physical. I'm not going to compare him to Gentry whatsoever, but like a third, fourth round pick, and you wanted to just find someone where you could watch a bunch of highlights and talk yourself into it. I mean, he kind of seems like one of those guys.
No, that's a perfect name. I thought you were going to try to get me to say the name or remember the name offhand, but yeah, Hampton, he's proven that he can be, and I think I've seen some people maybe have him as like two or three in their running back rankings. So yeah, Jake, that could be that guy in the second, third round, you know, day two, day three, that, you know, could come in and then, you know, we've seen it before in the NFL. All it takes is the right offensive line. And if you're building the offensive line by going there in the first round, you know, who knows you can plug and play behind it. So great aim, Jake. Make sure we can put him on our draft breakdown when we start breaking down these units and doing our little Pokemon comparisons or whatever.
Moving on, we have Durham Smythe, another player who was released. Josh, this is one I kind of looked over, and I think that's kind of a reason why you want to move on. And no disrespect, Durham Smythe was the longest tenured Dolphin. But Josh, if you're just looking over players on the roster, if you're not looking at someone and thinking, like, how can they impact my team, that's kind of the issue right there. And again, not trying to hate, but Durham Smythe right here, it saves the Dolphins $2.7 million in dead money, 9 receptions. He was targeted 17 times, 9 receptions for 53 yards this season, never more than one reception per game. And Josh, when the running attack is absolutely struggling, a bottom like third of the league unit, and you have this glorious passing attack that's led by Tyreek Hill, Devon Achane, Jonnu Smith, whoever it may be, you don't necessarily need 9 receptions for 53 yards.
Yeah. I mean, I had to laugh. And I think somewhere, yeah, I'll let you say it. But somewhere on here, I thought you said he had like 8 yards as a career high, like a couple times.
Yeah, this season, Josh, I have it right here. He had a season high 8 receiving yards, and he nailed it 4 times. You could just tell, dude, like there was one route that he could run. Like, you know, he mentioned maybe a little bit slow for this offense. There was one like 8-yard curl that he ran and just nailed it 4 times, and that's how he got that total.
That was more than Travis Kelce in the Super Bowl, right? I mean, Travis Kelce couldn't even nail an 8-yard curl in the Super Bowl. But I mean, I think the thing here is if you have a guy who we look at him as a tight end, but he's our run blocking tight end, right? And when we're talking about all these issues in the run game that we've seen over the years, I mean, you have to look at that as a part where you can at least improve, right? Because if you can bring a tight end in who can do more than catch 9 passes for 53 yards next year, I mean, you have to do it. And then if he can also impact the run game, I mean, I can absolutely see what the Dolphins did here. And it's hard not to laugh because, again, longest tenure guy. He was that guy for so many years that just kind of put his head down and worked. And, you know, he did make some plays in situations when we needed it at times. I swear there were a couple. But, you know, alongside Mike Gesicki, I mean, he seemed like he just had he was playing some of his favorite football, right? I mean, those two guys had a bond unlike no other. But going to be sad to see Durham Smythe go, but I can absolutely see why the Dolphins see a need to upgrade that position because, yeah, you got to get more juice out of that lemon.
Less than 100 receiving yards 3 times in his career. First 2 seasons and then last season. Josh, 100. People have that in a game, and we're talking about Smythe's seasons. And, you know, someone I compared him to quite a bit was Anthony Fasano. Nah, dude, I want to put out an apology for Anthony Fasano. This man scored 7 touchdowns in a season. He exceeded 370 yards in 3 of his 5 seasons in Miami. So an absolute stud. And I think that's kind of it here with Durham Smythe. It was, you're looking for ways to move the needle. He wasn't doing it as a run blocker. He wasn't really moving the sticks. And Josh, are you surprised that when you see a move like this, Alec Ingold's not involved in the mix at all? Because, like, when we're talking about the way this Dolphins offense is built, man, it's so weird. Like, you have all this speed, and then you have Durham Smythe and Alec Ingold.
Yeah, I mean, I still want to see Alec Ingold. I feel like Alec Ingold would have a better stat line than that if you give him chances in the passing game. And that's why and maybe that's just ignorant of me and who I thought he was when he was with the Raiders and things like that. I mean, so I want to see more juice out of the Alec Ingold lemon. And I think, you know, maybe they'd said it, you know, I don't know. But I feel like the Smythe thing, man, you had to move on here. And I know a lot of people were like, oh, man, why isn't it Julian Hill? But do you think in our heads that we kind of got these guys switched around? Like Julian Hill, we see all the pre-snap penalties. We see some of those issues he has. But like, is Durham Smythe the issue in the run game that, you know, maybe everyone thinks Julian Hill is and things like that? And who's to say Julian Hill can't go out there and catch 9 of 17 balls, right? I mean, I won't put it past him at all.
A lot of the early season penalties, and fans just want to be angry, and I completely understand that we are angry on this podcast all the time. But I think a lot of that had to do with like backup quarterbacks being in. A lot of Miami's offense is timing pre and post snap. So a lot of those pre-snap penalties is going to fall on someone like Julian Hill. Maybe it might not necessarily be his fault. And Josh, that being said, he did have some penalties that were his fault. I think the biggest issue, Josh, Durham Smythe, by releasing him, you save nearly $3 million. releasing Julian Hill, who's been here for 2 years and a lot of time and money's been invested in terms of just like inside the building, maybe not in terms of contract, but both Tanner Connor and Julian Hill, if you cut them each, it's a $1 million difference, Josh. That's it. And then if you want to sign somebody, it's $1 million. So you really aren't getting a lot of juice for the squeeze to go back to that lemon again. Where if you're releasing Julian Hill, you're just replacing him, Josh, with another Julian Hill, like an undrafted or a late round draft pick to come in. This guy, at least you can make the argument, he's been here for a couple of years. He's learning the system. They're investing a lot of time and energy into him. You saw the vision with someone like Jonnu Smith, and you wonder that, like, hey, there's a developmental process for someone like Julian Hill, and you're just begging that the Dolphins could reach it. But either way, man, it's $1 million. Every top 53, everyone's going to have a cap hit roughly around $1 million that you want to sign in free agency. Like, that's something to get mad about on February 17th. I get it, but it's not something that's really going to change the Dolphins, I'd say.
No, I think that's the best way to put it. And when you look at like the time they invest in some of these guys, I mean, you don't want to bring in another guy off the streets, right? Again, critical season. You don't want to bring in a guy who, you know, it's going to take a couple years to get this offense under your belt. You got Julian Hill here and Tanner Connor. I mean, this is a guy who I swear Mike McDaniel said can play that Ingold role. So, you know, can they say that Tanner Connor can go out there and now fit? You know, I keep joking, like in my head, I'm wondering, they have Eric Azukama, Tanner Connor, who's the other one, Ethan Bonner. Are these guys that like they knew were going to be stars, that they're just going to wait till the last year to play them when they, I joke. I mean, that's what we kind of hope at this point. Jake, we had Ashton Gentry as the guy, you know, at the running back. Let me ask you, Tyler Warren at 13, the tight end from Penn State, does this now open that up? Because that's a guy who a lot of mock drafts, man. I don't know if it's because they see best player available or if they just see what he can do to this offense as a guy who I had it written down here, man. He lined up at quarterback 40 times last year, in the backfield 69 times, 414 times in line at tight end, and then 239 in the slot and 93 out wide. So a true unicorn in Tyler Warren, a guy that can implement, impact the run game, can do things in short yardage situations under center, and then obviously can open things up in the passing game. Do you think this now opens that up? I mean, I don't think a Smythe for Tyler Warren thing was ever in their playbook, but if you can bring in a Tyler Warren now, add him to this Jonnu Smith tight end room, you know, this offense, I mean, it sounds pretty sexy on paper.
Josh, they ran 40 plays with their tight end at quarterback?
That's what it said on Pro Football Focus. I made sure I looked, and that was this season. So like he lined up there. So I don't know if then he can audible out, but there were some times when I believe their backup quarterback transferred because of the stupid nil rule. So in the playoffs, they used him in behind and then in the backfield. So yeah, so this dude lined up everywhere. I was kind of thrown off by 42. So maybe I should have made sure that Pro Football Focus did their math on that.
I am all in on listening to people talk about Tyler Warren at 13. Kyle Krabs did a huge breakdown of this that I thought was excellent. And when you think about it, yes, a tight end, if you want somebody like, even if you think about the best tight end of all time, you're still thinking of Gronk just like running silly downfield, just like eviscerating people in the open field. And I get the
Except for Deion Jordan,
the Gronk stopper. You're right. Third overall pick. But the way the Dolphins use tight ends, I do think you'd be able to use the lemon again. You could squeeze a lot of juice out of this lemon, man. I think he can do a lot of different things as a blocker or receiver. And another thing, it helps a defense have no idea what you're going to do as an offense. Like Josh, you mentioned Jalen Wright, like the idea, like when he's on the field, he's going to get the ball. Like someone like Tyler Warren, I think you could just kind of throw out there and it's a total army knife about what you can do, what you can have him doing. I agree with you, Josh. I don't think it was a one-for-one Smythe. Oh, my God. I'm sorry today. But what I do think, it's like you poked a little hole from behind the curtain, and you can see the light looking through a little bit more, where this is more of an obvious pick, it kind of seems like, with the loss of Smythe. But it shouldn't have changed everything, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. But I do think, you know, come draft day, they draft this tight end with all these, you know, there's a guard and offensive lineman. I think fans need to, you know, take a step back because, again, he's not the greatest blocker. And we've talked about guys like Harold Fannin Jr. We were getting hyped about Mason Taylor, right? Jason Taylor's son. I mean, there's tight ends in this draft that they are going to, that they can easily, you know, bring in who's going to catch more than 9 of 17 for 53 and help in the run game. But Tyler Warren is kind of that Thor, you know, he's that one of one. He's that, you know, the Hawkinsons, the Goddards, and, you know, the draft that where, you know, you, the player that's going to come in and immediately change all through, you know, every phase of the game. So I'm here for it. Again, I'm not going to put all my pony, bag in one tray. You know what I'm saying?
All my eggs in one basket.
There we go. When we talk about eggs, they're very expensive. I'm not putting any eggs in any baskets this year. But we got a lot of time between now and the draft where I'm not going to sit here and say Tyler Warren has to be that pick. But if it is, we can absolutely see why that would impact the offense.
The last move, and Josh, I said it on the podcast, and I'm really good at looking foolish, but I don't know why Kendall Fuller might be released. Like, I don't know why. Like, he was a good starter when available. And Josh, when available is such a key point here. So the Dolphins are releasing Fuller. It's not as a post June 1st cut. So the move only saves the Miami Dolphins $2.8 million, $5.4 million in dead money. Josh, I see that number, and I see the Dolphins still in the red, and I'm like ripping out my hair like, what are you doing? Like, we cannot be making these moves. And then I get to thinking, like, the dude suffered two concussions, and I think his season ended with, like, a knee injury. Shout out Kendall Fuller for coming here, doing his job, and when he was on the field, he was awesome. Some unfortunate injuries, but as I started to think about it, it did start to make a little bit more sense to me.
Yeah, Jake, when you put it like that, I mean, I can absolutely see why. You know, we sat there and said, you know, if you get rid of him, you're probably just going to use that money in free agency. But he was only here for such a short amount of time. The injuries piled up. And again, there's going to be options in the draft. There's going to be options in free agency. And there's some options on the roster, right? They have to like what they see out of some of these guys. My biggest fear is that I was going to say my biggest fear is Kader Kohou, man. I do not want to move him out in the boundary. I don't want to say he's worse on the boundary, but I feel like his entire career he's been playing inside. Last season, 453 snaps in the slot, 187 on the boundary. He allowed 42 of 64 targets for 335 yards, two touchdowns, and he had the two interceptions. But I just feel like Kader Kohou in nickel is so much more valuable for this team than putting him out in the boundary. And then you got to ask yourself, do you like Storm Duck? Cam Smith has yet to drop his nuts like he said he was going to do. I mean, What are we doing out there on the boundary, man?
So Kader Kohou, he is a restricted free agent. So a team can go try to sign him, but the Dolphins have the opportunity to match any contract he is offered. I want to talk Ethan Bonner, Storm Duck, and Cam Smith. But Josh, do you see that it's kind of feels like a no-brainer for the Dolphins that whatever Kohou's offered, I mean, he's not going to get offered an insane quarterback contract. It's going to be something like market value wise, as long as it's not like too eye popping. Do you see him being back in Miami?
Yeah. I mean, he has to, right? I mean, they should be at this point on defense. They should be playing that bam, bam, bam every time he's out there on third down. So I was just going to sit here and joke. What if that's the one player that Vic Fangio like is enamored by? And he's like, okay, Philly, just go out there and pay him. And dude, I do not want to lose Kader Kohou. So you're right. He's not going to get some crazy contract until, you know, somebody does give him a crazy contract, and then the Dolphins are pigeonholed.
Was it Charles Clay where he was transition tagged, I think
something
it was.
Like that. Went to Buffalo, and, right?
And what Buffalo did, Josh, I think the Dolphins could have matched it in terms of years and money. But what the Bills, I might be making this all up, but what I think the Bills did is I think they front-loaded the contract. So when you look at like a situation where the Dolphins are this year, I think they're going to be able to match any Kohou contract. But what a opposing team might try to do is say, all right, we're going to front load this contract where Kohou, if you're getting monopoly, I'm making this up, $25 million over 3 years, we're going to give you $15 million in year one because we're the New England Patriots and we have $140 million in free salary cap space. So I think that's the only scenario I could probably see unfolding where Kader Kohou is not back with the Dolphins. But Josh, you're pretty locked in that you want to see him be the slot guy next year.
Yeah, and I'm just hoping that that's the way the Dolphins feel because, I mean, I don't want to say he takes a step back when he plays on the boundary, but it just seems like, you know, he's just a step slower maybe or, you know, can't keep up with some of those more physical guys.
I kind of want the Dolphins to sign Mike Hilton, eighth-year nickel cornerback, just one interception last year, 63 tackles, one missed, two pass breakups, 9 yards allowed per reception. I think this secondary, Josh, could use a little more attitude, and I don't mean like All-American rejects attitude, like Javon Holland tends to give off. I mean, more like a physical, like, I'm going to bite some kneecaps attitude. And I think Mike Hilton could be that. That Cincinnati secondary, the Cincinnati defense was brutal last year. But I think if you're trying to plug in place, Josh, was it Kat talking about how like in the mid 90s, the Dolphins rebuilt, quote unquote, the secondary just by signing a couple of free agents. I do think the way contracts are built in today's NFL, you can plug and play here. Deshaun Elliott, perfect example. Mike Hilton's one guy that I want to plant my flag on early as somebody like, if Kader Kohu's not back in Miami, which I agree with you, I think I'd be 100% for that. If you want to bring some attitude, somebody who's going to be a consistent tackler, somebody who's going to help lock down the middle of the field, I think I'd be in on Mike Hilton.
Yeah, I was trying to go through and look at some of the players on PFF. I was looking at the like top 100, and I saw Asante Samuel Jr. I got all excited. Then it said like one of his biggest issues is missed tackles, and I'm like, oh shit, dude, he would fit right in here. So I'm like, pass on him. So I mean, I don't know that I have a name in free agency, but I definitely think that that's where they're going to look for cornerback too. But at the same time, now at pick 13, man, a Will Johnson who was banged up this year. Some people think was a better cornerback on, you know, some people had him higher than Travis Hunter heading into the season. So if it wasn't for that injury, I mean, this guy could fall there. Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame is another guy who has first round value. So this could absolutely open up the Dolphins drafting a guy there at 13. But I feel like if, you know, again, critical, and I'm going to keep going back to that critical season, you want to bring in a cornerback too, who, I mean, in free agency, who, you know, has proven that he can go out there and shut down some of these guys. I think about Mike Hilton or some of those other guys that, you know, are out there, you know, could definitely come in here and fill that role for Kendall Fuller, who, again, man, for as well as he looked when he was out there and as good as he might have played in Madden for us, he just, the injuries just definitely piled up and they had to move on.
A fun podcast, Josh. What would a position drafted at 13 you would trust? So we're under the impression that maybe I'd argue with you. I think I would. As your cornerback two, I mean, we had Cam Smith out there on the island. We had Ethan Bonner out there on the island. I think as a cornerback two, I'd trust a first round pick for. But you don't think you would?
I'm not sure. I guess that may have just been me saying the you know, politically correct thing. I mean,
it makes sense. I think it's a good take that they need to invest in positions and guys they need to trust. So I'm not trying to say it as like to bash you. I genuinely think like that's going to be a perspective that the Dolphins and fans, I think, are lacking so far, is the idea that, like, yes, you know, people will say like, yeah, take a quarterback in the first round, which, like, if you want to say like push all the chips into the table, but then it's also like, you got to deal with all the mistakes. You got to deal with the hiccups, the growing pains. And I think there are some positions where the Dolphins might just say, like, we can't afford growing pains this year. So that's interesting.
Yeah, and shame on me. I wish I had a list of, you know, some of the Baltimore Ravens, you know, maybe former players that, you know, Anthony Weaver played with. Because I do remember, was it Tre'Varius Ward, I think, maybe is a cornerback for the San Francisco 49ers. I think he might have been like 14th on that list. I mean, that immediately, okay, San Francisco 49ers, right? But we're building Anthony Weaver defense here. So, yeah, I mean, unless these guys do have familiarity, I guess I wouldn't be opposed to bringing in a guy. I mean, how's that any different, right? A 20-year-old, you know, first-round pick you're bringing in here to, you know, obviously start. I mean, how is that any different than a veteran that maybe doesn't have experience? I mean, those are things that in a critical season, you know, are they weighing the pros and cons? I mean, I don't know that there's really a pro to bringing in a veteran opposed to a younger player, you know, might just be fresh off of college. So, yeah, Jake, I have no issue. Go ahead, draft one at 13. Let's do it. Piss off everyone, right? I mean, offensive lineman there, Tyler Warren there, Ashton Gentry's there. There's a quarterback there that you could probably trade down and get more picks for. Dolphins just go cornerback, just like good old times.
Like, think about it though, like, you have Jalen Ramsey in that secondary, and let's say you have to fill what, four other positions. We'll say there's five players in the secondary, three cornerbacks, two safeties. You got Ramsey, you bring back Kohu, you're going, like, one way or another, there's going to be some experience, some older dudes in the secondary, where I think if you wanted to draft what, have like one first round guy and like four old heads back there, I think that could make some sense. Unless, Josh, the Dolphins are going to get real crazy and I think you want to bring up Patrick Morris, but I'm not entirely sure.
We always got to bring up Patrick Morris, man. Any chance we get. He's still on the roster, right?
That's fact. It's fact.
Facts are the facts.
So it'll be interesting because you have Ethan Bonner, Storm Duck, and Cam Smith all under contract. I don't have numbers for Bonner here, but people were talking about Duck and Smith on the Finn Sider, so I figured I'd bring it up here. Storm Duck, 359 snaps, 322 of them came on the boundary. Josh, another guy who's a little bit smaller, but you're making it work on the boundary. Actually, both him and Cam Smith, now that I mention it, kind of have that same, maybe a little bit smaller than you'd want from boundary corner, just trying to make up for it with physicality and attitude. He allowed receptions on 33 of 24 targets, 254 yards, one touchdown, and one pass breakup. He was actually a sound tackler, though, and I think that was kind of important. And then you had Cam Smith, 133 total snaps, 126 on the boundary, allowed receptions on 16 of 19 targets for 174 yards and a touchdown. God, it just felt like for Cam Smith, man, every time he's on the field, it feels like he's on an island. And it's not like a Revis Island. It's like a all-you-can-eat resort type of island.
Yeah, it's just so disappointing because I swear, I know that I have cut-ups and things of, you know, him looking solid in coverage and, you know, being a different cornerback in college. I mean, obviously, Chris Greer saw something in him to draft him when he did. I mean, I just wish we see more out of him. And, you know, maybe we do in this, again, this critical season. But you can't rely on a Cam Smith. You can't rely on Ethan Bonner. Storm Duck, I mean, maybe they saw enough to think they can rely on him on the boundary. But, again, I don't think they're going into this season with just – obviously they're not going into the season with the cornerback unit, and they're definitely going to upgrade that cornerback two position. Where or when is to be found out.
Running back, tight end, or cornerback, the three positions Miami just created holes in, Josh, which one are we going to be talking about more between now and April's draft?
Okay. Cornerback.
Cornerback. Which one of these positions, if the Dolphins signed a player to a multi-year contract, it could be 2 years, would you say, all right, they're off the board in the first? Because, Josh, I think there's a legitimate, it might not be like the right argument, but like running back, tight end, cornerback, like we just made a case, like all could be legit first round options for the Dolphins. Which one of those positions would you see like a free agent signed on like March 14th and like say like, yeah, this position's definitely off the books?
I was just going to say running back, because at this point I kind of feel like running back is almost off the board. I mean, could you not see them just signing a guy like some bruiser, 2 year, $5 million? I don't know what it would be, but yeah.
Darrell Henderson.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Javonte Williams is out there, too. I remember wanting him really bad.
Najee Harris.
Yeah, there's all.
Is it too early
to all,
start the Najee Harris
of these
speeches?
Guys that used to love. Yeah, okay. So we could easily see them doing a 2 year deal. We're just like, okay, no chance running back. Cause I mean, even saying running back on this pod, I kind of feel like there's no chance they're going to do it, but that's going to be why they're going to do it.
Is it too cliche to go like Najee Harris fan club here? Like I kind of see that, okay. Like, I don't know why the Dolphins wouldn't go after someone like him at this point.
Yeah. Tua would love that. Right. Wouldn't he? I mean, those two are two peas in a pod. Yeah. He just would never lived up to that hype, though. I mean, I remember watching Najee Harris, and I'm like, dude, is this the guy that I wanted for the Dolphins at one point? Like, dude, slow as – don't matter. Yes, Najee Harris train.
Super slow, but I also think that the Pittsburgh is another team that doesn't necessarily do what it should on the – I'm not trying to say that Najee Harris is that first-round talent, but I just think if you wanted to go Jalen Wright, Devon Achane, Najee Harris as your top three going into next year, Josh, I'm trying to reel myself back in, man, because he definitely fits the bill as like the former draft love. Like he's like an Evan Mathis. Like he's just one of those guys that you're always like, it makes so much sense, but then it just never happens. And there's probably a super obvious reason that nobody wants to talk about.
Yeah, that's what it always is, right? I mean, that's just the story of our life as fans. We always have these guys that we love no matter what. And if we get Najee Harris on our team, dude, we'd all be stoked. But there'd be a lot more Alabama fans now, too. Do we need more Alabama fans?
I think we have all the Alabama fans. I don't know if it's possible to get any more. Dude, they're all. That is it. That is all the time we have today on another Dolphins podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. If you're liking the show, liking what you're listening to, you can find this podcast, Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts. We try to be there. And if you'd like a video aspect of this show, look at Josh's fancy Ricky Williams jersey. I got Nick Bonacani behind me. 560 WQAM on YouTube. All our podcasts are uploaded there. I have a mailbag in the works. I have a sick PowerPoint, sick, quote unquote, ready to go that we will be doing. So I want to just tell everyone, I do look at all those comments. I do try to keep them in mind, and I do try to integrate them into our show to keep it fresh, to keep it exciting. But thank you all so much for listening. Josh, it's great to podcast with you. And most importantly, fins up.
Fins up.
Fins up.
Of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.